Award-winning novelist Russell Banks is best known for such modern classics as Continental Drift, Cloud Splitter, Rule of the Bone, The Sweet Hereafter, and Affliction. His new book probes travel writing and is a memoir entitled Voyager, Travel Writings. Using his far-flung journeys from the tropics to daunting mountaintops and beyond as a prism through which to refract the passages of his life, Banks offers a blend of observation and rumination as uncompromising and unapologetic as his trademark fiction. Russell Banks will be at the Northshire Bookstore in Saratoga Springs on Friday, the 24th of June. Again, the new book is Voyager, Travel Writings, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Russell Banks back to the roundtable.
Yeah, well, it's a pleasure for me, too.
So what brought you down the nonfiction road of wanting to do this travel writing?
I think it's probably age more than anything else. I reach a point in my mid-70s, just over the line, and I start looking back more than I am looking forward, I think. And so I went back over some of these essays. I was originally going to do a selected essays kind of anthology, but then when I started looking at it, I thought, this is really, it's boring to do, and it's going to be even more boring to read. But I did notice that I had a whole lot of travel essays going back into the 80s, and they were of an interesting variety. And I thought, well, you know, that could be interesting for me as a writer to go through those and rewrite them, rethink them, and expand them when I could or when I felt the need. And take advantage of this reflective backward gaze in a way. So I abandoned the initial project altogether and went to work on these travel essays.
Do you get a sense of what it is about journeys and about travel that allows you to create a prism of which to look at various passages in your life?
Well, it happens, I think, inevitably, but it seems especially to happen to me. It still happens. Once I get out of the familiar world where I'm barely conscious of, you know, anything except the task at hand, and get into a strange world, a world where I don't really know the rules and have to learn as I go, that, I think, makes me much more self-aware and self-conscious in a good way. And so it invites reflection and self-evaluation, too, because you're in an unfamiliar world. You don't have your usual skill set available, and what skills you do have available aren't necessarily useful or helpful. So, yeah, it's a confrontation with the self, travel is, and has been for me, and I think it is for most people.
Much of this book is made up of the title essay, which is Voyager, which brings you to the Caribbean with Chase, the woman who would become your fourth wife.
Right. Yeah, I figured this is an opportunity for me to try to answer that question that is often asked of me, and one I ask of myself is, how did you come to be married four times, for heaven's sakes? I mean, you're not Elizabeth Taylor, and so I thought, you know, it's time for me to address that question, really, not for the sake of other people's curiosity, but really for my own sake and my own understanding. And so, yeah, so the essay, which is, yeah, it is half the book, it's 125 pages long, I think, starts out with a statement, really. This is, a man who's been married four times has a lot of explaining to do. And so I began to try to explain it first to myself and then to anyone else who was interested in listening.
And what is it about traveling, and traveling especially with Chase, that allows you to think about that and to fully understand it?
Yeah, that became a framework that is a literal journey. Took almost 2 months overall through 33 islands in the Caribbean on assignment for a magazine. And she came along with me. It was kind of a courting occasion, and so it was a kind of, I framed it so that I was telling her how that happened, because we weren't quite married yet, and it turned out to be the kind of thing one does when courting anyhow, is explain your past, sir. And so I thought it was a useful kind of narrative device, as it turned out. It was not in the original article that I did write for, it was for Condé Nast Traveler magazine, by any means. Her presence wasn't mentioned, but it expanded and grew and then became a kind of, you know, almost novelistic in a way. I think it begins to feel almost like not fiction in the sense of made up, but it has a real narrative to it.
When it comes to the failed marriages, the three failed marriages, you do seem to put a lot of the blame on your shoulders.
Yeah, a couple of people have told me that. I didn't feel it at the time when I was writing it, but I guess so. I'm just in a period of life where it's a lot easier for me to blame myself than to blame anyone else for my life and its adventures. But I was trying to be truthful and understand those events of the distant past in a couple of cases, going all the way back to 1958, 59, 60, and coming forward. I was trying to be kind and also see those events through how it must have seemed to them, you know, which is something that you can only really do when you get a little bit of distance and time between the events. And it's no longer the issues that actually caused the breakup in the first place.
Of course, you do write about these relationships and the changes that you have gone through over time.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also the changing of the environment, the changing of our cultures, the changing of places that you had visited once that you were returning to, and sort of that look at how we as a culture and society have changed things and not always for the better.
Yeah, no, that's inevitable and inescapable when you're writing about the Caribbean in particular, but it comes out in some of the other essays too, and the one about set in Alaska, the one set in the Seychelles Islands, where, you know, the presence of outsiders ends up destroying the environment and having this negative impact on the culture of the people there as well. And you know, it's that sad, almost tragic kind of irony that in many of these places, the only thing they have to sell is their natural beauty and the tourist industry, in a way that it seems inescapable, ends up destroying the very thing that that they're there for. As the cruise ships enter the ports, you know, it's everybody comes running down to the docks. But that's the beginning of the end at the same time. You know, just last month, and I spend the winters living in Miami, and this last month I watched on television the cruise ship from Miami entering the Old Havana, the port of Old Havana, and I thought, well, there it goes. It's necessary. It's to the economy. It's essential to the lives of the people. But boy, what it brings with it.
This book also is very much about some of the people that you meet along the way, some very charming, some quite annoying, interestingly enough. And that is what I would think would be fun about it, is to give yourself to the place and allow you to meet the people who live there all the time.
Oh, yeah. That's always a pleasure, I think, that comes with travel and the unanticipated kind of encounters you have with individuals and also in their cultural context as well. But I hope that my portraits of people, by and large, are sympathetic. I know there are a couple there that have an edge to it, but I don't feel that I'm not a Paul Theroux kind of writer who views with a jaundiced eye the people that he encounters and visits. I think, try to be at least more good-humored and open in my meetings with strangers.
When it comes to openness, this actually brings up something that I was going to ask you. I made a note as I was reading the book that it seems to make great sense for a magazine who wants to send somebody to a place to write a piece to send a novelist such as yourself. And I guess what do they get? Because you are very open to soaking up a place, but also bring the beautiful language to it in the piece.
Well, thank you. I hope that's true, that the language is the language of a lifelong fiction writer, and the attention to each word in a sentence is a part of my daily practice. But I think, you know, I found when I didn't start writing travel articles or writing about travel really until the 1980s, and I'd already published a number of books and so on, and so it was brand new to me, and I was sort of unable to do it without creating a little narrative, a story somehow. I mean, I didn't want to just list the pros and the cons of this place. I wanted to have a traveler passing through this place. And so my impulse initially and continuing, it continued to be, is that of a fiction writer, of a storyteller. So you get, if you have a fiction writer traveling, you're likely to get a narrator, and a narrator moving through time and oftentimes with conflict and obstacles to overcome. You get a story in a sense. You also, I hope, get the novelistic eye for detail and for the meaningful detail. It's sometimes, you know, one detail reveals 1,000 truths that you couldn't get at otherwise. So, yeah, I think you're right. I mean, some of the best travel writers have been fiction writers, like Graham Greene, like Theroux himself, and V.S. Naipaul, and on back into the 19th century. It goes with the territory.
Does it become a bit of a scouting for the novel writing as well?
That's an interesting question. Sometimes they overlap. I mean, there's the essay there that's set in Senegal and was really part of an extensive piece of research I was doing for a novel that became The Darling a few years later. And I was looking into the history and connections between West Africa and American history of slavery. And so, yeah, there is an overlap, but I think that it's probably accidental and circumstantial. It isn't really a set out. I don't really set out to research some future novel or something of that sort and use it as an occasion to write a travel essay or something. You know, there's a way in which, Joe, all fiction writers are constantly researching, no matter what they're doing, in their dreams and on their day-to-day lives, and as well as they travel. Sometimes my kids or friends will say, "Don't you ever take a vacation?" And the fact is, no, I guess I don't. It's sort of, I'd have to turn off my brain in order to do that, and I'm not sure how to go about that.
Or if you'd want to.
Or if I'd want to, exactly.
The name of the new book is Voyager, Travel Writings. It's published by Echo. And Russell Banks will be at the Northshire Bookstore in Saratoga Springs at 7 o'clock on Friday night, the 24th of June. And you can find out more by going to northshire.com, northshire.com. Russell Banks, always a pleasure to have you on the program. We look forward to having you back in town.
Thanks, Joe. Looking forward to it, too.
Thank you very much. Again, the name of the new book is Voyager Travel Writings by Russell Banks. You can find out more about the Northshire Bookstore signing and reading on Friday, June 24th, by going to northshire.com. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.